Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is May 21st. Today we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block and we're going to take a look at Mosiah chapter 8 at one of the unsung heroes of the Book of Mormon. And that person is Gideon. Now we don't know a ton about Gideon, but what we do know is absolutely amazing. We know that he was a leader in King Noah's army. And we know that even though the people of King Noah were living in extreme wickedness, not everyone was past filling. In fact, we see that with Alma the Elder. Yes, he was one of King Noah's wicked priests, but he wasn't past feeling. When he heard the words of Abinadi, he could feel the Holy Ghost prick his heart and teach him the truths that he needed. And Gideon was that way. He was not past feeling. He could see right from wrong and truth from error. Now, after Alma had fled, King Noah sent an army out to follow him and to try to track him down and to kill him. And when they were unsuccessful, they returned home. And it says in the scriptures that when they got back, they began to disagree with each other. In fact, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "There began to be a division among the remainder of the people, and the lesser part began to breathe out threatenings against the king, and there began to be great contention among them." So Gideon most likely was a leader in Noah's army, but we have nothing to suggest that Gideon was wrapped up in the kind of wickedness that Noah and the priests and a lot of the people were. In fact, everything that we know about him suggests that he still, to some point, had the light of Christ. He could see that what Noah had done to Abinadi was wrong. Now, that being said, not a perfect man, he still tried to kill King Noah, but he does show us an example of someone who can live among great wickedness and not fall into that wickedness himself. And that, I think, is such an important skill for you and I to learn in our day and age, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a difficult time when people try to say that right is wrong and wrong is right, when they try to paint shades of gray where things used to be black and white. So it's vital that you and I learn how to live in this world while still holding true to the truths that we know, while still making righteous, good choices. In the book Miracle of Forgiveness, President Kimball tells a story about a man hiring a coach driver back in the days, and he was talking to three different men, and he was asking about their driving experience, and he was asking why they were good, how they would handle the mountainous terrain that they were going to go through, all the steep and winding roads. And the first applicant said that he was such a good driver that he could get his will right up to the edge and not fall off, not lose the coach. And the second guy said, "Well, that's nothing. I can get my will over the edge and still maintain control and still not lose the coach." And so the man hiring turned to the third guy and he said, "Well, what can you offer?" And that man said, "Well, I can keep the coach as far away from the edge as possible." And that's the one who got the job. And that's the way you and I have to learn to live in this world, that we stay so far away from the edge that it loses its threat to us. In 1975, Elder Stapley, in the April conference, gave a talk called Using Our Free Agency. And in that talk, he said, "Be aware and warned of the subtle workings of Satan, for he never stops trying to lead us astray. He is an expert on making things seem appealing and right, when usually they can bring about our moral destruction. We can see his workings more and more in the movies, television shows, magazines, and the actions of men and nations." My friends, keep in mind that this talk was given in 1975. And in my opinion, it seems like the world is even more so dealing with the workings of Satan. If you could see Satan in the movies, television shows, magazines, and actions in the 70s, then I think even more so we can see it now. So it's up to you and I to stay as far away from that edge as possible, to keep both feet planted firmly away from the adversary and to avoid his influences in our lives. It's not easy to do in a world that feels so divided and so wicked, but my friends, we can stand for truth and we can stand for what we believe even in a wicked world. One of my favorite stories that President Monson tells is a story of when he was in Navy boot camp. And he tells it so much better than I can. So I'm going to play that story for you now.
Navy boot camp was not an easy experience for me, nor for anyone who endured it. For the first 3 weeks, I was convinced my life was in jeopardy. The Navy wasn't trying to train me. It was trying to kill me. I shall ever remember when Sunday rolled around after the first week. We received welcome news from the chief petty officer. Standing at attention on the drill ground in a brisk California breeze, we heard his command. Today, everybody goes to church. Everybody, that is, except for me. I'm going to relax. Then he shouted, all of you Catholics, you meet in Camp Decatur. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. A rather sizable contingent moved out. Then he barked out his next command. Those of you who are Jewish, you meet in Camp Henry. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. A somewhat smaller contingent marched out. Then he said, the rest of you Protestants, you meet in the theaters at Camp Farragut. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. Instantly, there flashed through my mind the thought, Monson, you're not a Catholic. You're not a Jew. You're not a Protestant. You're a Mormon. So you just stand here. I'm glad to be alive today. I can assure you that I felt completely alone. Courageous, determined, yes, but alone. And then I heard the sweetest words I ever heard that chief petty officer utter. He looked in my direction and asked, and just what do you guys call yourselves? Until that very moment, I had not realized that anyone was standing beside me or behind me on the drill ground. Almost in unison, each of us replied, Mormons. It is difficult to describe the joy that filled my heart as I turned around and saw a handful of other sailors. The chief petty officer scratched his head in an expression of puzzlement, but finally said, well, you guys go find somewhere to meet. Don't come back until 3 o'clock. Forward march. As we marched away, I thought of the words of a rhyme I had learned in primary years before. Dare to be a Mormon. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Although the experience turned out differently from what I'd expected, I had been willing to stand alone, had such been necessary. Since that day, there have been times when there was no one standing behind me, and so I did stand alone. How grateful I am that I made the decision long ago to remain strong and true, always prepared, and ready to defend my religion should the need arise. May we ever be courageous and prepared to stand for what we believe, and if we must stand alone in the process, may we do so courageously, strengthened by the knowledge that in reality we are never alone when we stand with our Father in heaven. That we may ever follow that light and hold it up for all the world to see is my prayer and my blessing upon all who hear my voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
May you and I always have the courage of our convictions, just like Gideon did. He goes on to become an incredible example of testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we can always stand firm and true in our beliefs by staying as far on the Lord's side as possible. And as we do so, we can be blessed and protected from the temptations of the adversary. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.